We'll begin a new series on the Heidelberg Catechism, and as we come up to the question, we will read it together in our text. Heidelberg Catechism, question 1, Christ, my only comfort. Brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ, the Heidelberg Catechism is not equal to the Bible, but it is an accurate summary of what the Bible teaches, and it teaches it in a personal way. So it is right and good to examine it, as we will begin to do now. Now, the Catechism will help you develop answers to questions about what you may believe and how you may live. What you may believe and how you may live. This means you must not just understand these doctrines, but you must also believe these doctrines and put them into practice in your lives. You see, accurate doctrines mean nothing. Just simply knowing accurate doctrines mean nothing. Doctrines must be believed, not just known, but believed and lived for true benefits to come. And what are those benefits? Good comes to you and glory comes to Christ. Conversely, to know these doctrines and not believe them and live them will be the ground for judgment. So there is no neutrality for those who know these doctrines. There is no neutral ground, say, I know them, but it's up to me whether I believe or don't believe them. You believe them, you're blessed. You don't believe them and live them, you're cursed. That's it. No neutrality when it comes to the doctrines of Scripture. Now today we will begin with Heidelberg Catechism question and answer 1. This first question is about understanding man's basic need. Understanding man's basic need, the man's most fundamental need. And I did say that the Catechism is personal, and as we study it, we will show you how personal it really ought to be to us, and the benefits you can receive. Our headings today are 4. The need for comfort, the ground for comfort, the continuation of comfort, and the result of comfort. What do you expect it to do? So the need, the ground, the continuation, and then your response to the comfort. Probably response is a better word there. Our goals are that you will be comforted in your soul, knowing what Christ has done for you, and that you will then love Him and live for Him. The knowledge again results in some action. The knowledge of what Christ has done must cause you to love Him and live for Him. So, question and answer 1. What is your only comfort in life and in death? Together, that I am not my own, but belong, body and soul, in life and in death, to my faithful Savior Jesus Christ. He has fully paid for all my sins with His precious blood, and has set me free from the tyranny of the devil. He also watches over me in such a way that not a hair can fall from my head without the will of my Father in heaven. In fact, all things must work together for my salvation. Because I belong to Him, Christ, by His Holy Spirit, assures me of eternal life and makes me wholeheartedly willing and ready from now on to live for Him. So we start then. First heading, the need for comfort. You know, the Catechism presupposes the need for comfort. And we want to take some time to talk about that before we look at the Catechism specifically. There is an underlying need for comfort in every man and woman's life, though some think they have all the comfort they need. Sometimes you might hear a non-Christian say, I don't need anything, I'm happy. I have 2 newer cars, I have the big house, the good job, and a good family. I can afford to go on vacation, I can help my needy relatives. I don't have to worry about the future financially, I've got enough RRSP saved up. But that is not what the Bible says about their lives. The Bible disputes the claim that they have real comfort. The Bible says they're lying. And that is what a famous PhD research paper showed that was done right here in Toronto. In that PhD research, a woman was doing that research, said most people who said they were happy with their lives, when she asked them, are you happy with your life? Yes, we're most people were happy. But when she took them to a bar, not some strange PhD study, but she took them to a bar, and then she bought them a few drinks, alcoholic drinks. And then after a number of drinks, she started to ask them, are you really happy? Do you have true peace in your heart? And overwhelmingly, they ended up saying, no, I'm miserable. They had just said they had everything they needed. They were happy. They were rich. Doing well. You see, they didn't know what they really needed, or even if they knew, they didn't admit it. And they were really confirming what the Bible says. Man needs a deeper comfort in his soul. Yes, could they afford a nice steak in the restaurant and comfort their stomachs? Yes. They afford a nice bed, a warm house? Yes. Their bodies weren't cold in winter or hot in summer. They have good air conditioning. And they thought, we've got comfort. But when they started looking and they started becoming more open and truthful about what they were saying, they admitted that they needed something more. Man needs a deeper comfort in his soul, comfort that shows that his sins are removed. And this is where the Catechism takes a starting point. You need comfort that God, and God gives that comfort to you. That true comfort that you can't buy with money, that you can't get from a wife, and that you can't get from a beer bottle. Comfort must come from God. Now, what's the ground for that comfort? Why would God give you comfort? The ground of the comfort, number one, you belong to Christ, body and soul, as our catechism says. And that's reflecting what Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 19. Let's read together. Let's begin. Or do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and you are not your own, for you were bought at a price? The price, of course, was the blood of Jesus Christ. So you don't belong to you anymore. You belong to Christ. The Father chose you. Ephesians 1, you will see these doctrines. The Son redeemed you. The Spirit sealed you. So you belong to Him. And knowing who God is, His great love for you, His great care for you, what a comfort this must be. This is not saying you're a prisoner of God. This is a God who loves you, who sacrificed His own Son for you. That is the person you want to entrust yourself to. That's the person who can give you true comfort. Romans chapter 14, verse 7, together. For none of us lives to himself, and no one dies to himself. For if we live, we live to the Lord. And if we die, we die to the Lord. Therefore, whether we live or die, we are the Lord's. For to this end, Christ died and rose and lived again, that he might be Lord. So you are the Lord's, whether you live or die. This is protection. This is that hedge around you, whether you're alive or whether you're dead. You are the Lord's. And that's a good thing. And all of that happened because Christ died, rose, and lived again. The same thought is repeated by Peter in 1 Peter 1, 18 and 19 together. Knowing that you were not redeemed with corruptible things like silver or gold from your aimless conduct received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. So there is the price or the ground of your comfort. It was the life, death, burial, resurrection, and ascension of Jesus Christ on your behalf. Now, it is true that knowing Reformed doctrines is good. I've argued many times before, it's the best and closest thing to the Scriptures that I can imagine. I'm convinced of. But knowing Reformed doctrines doesn't remove your sins and doesn't give you comfort. Being a good scientist does not save you and make you safe. Living a moral life does not save you and give you that comfort that you truly need. It is being a child of God through Christ that gives you comfort. Romans 8 says, you are adopted as true children, and God's Holy Spirit bears witness with you that you are children of God. You know in your heart that you belong to Jesus Christ. And that gives you comfort. That is the true comfort that a Christian can have. And you belong to Christ, number one. But the second point is also true. Why do you belong to Christ? Why would He accept someone like you? You know yourself and you know the wicked thoughts that go through your mind, the evil words that come from your mouth and the wicked actions of your hands. You know how bad you are. Why would Christ want to save someone like you? Now, Christ was willing to pay for your body and soul because He loved you. That famous verse that everyone should know is John chapter 3, verse 16. Together, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. The ground of Christ redeeming you is His love. Now let me illustrate this a little bit. A good husband loves his wife and knows that he must be ready to die to keep her safe. Regardless of the danger, a husband will risk his life to keep his wife. She is his and he will die to keep her. A woman with a good husband understands this well and enjoys her husband's provisions and protections because she knows his love for her. And similarly, Christ loved his bride with such deep love that he died to keep her safe. Not just willing, but actually died to keep her safe. And of course, Christ's love was infinitely more because he not only kept the body going, he also kept the soul. He renewed the soul of his bride as well. The bride of his soul had become corrupted and was heading for hell, and he redeemed her body and soul. But that idea of how a husband loves his wife and is willing to die for her starts to give us that picture of what Christ did for his bride. Except, of course, it was infinitely more. And look what happens as a result of Christ. He not only saves his bride, but look at what happens next. Titus chapter 2, verse 13. Together, looking for the blessed hope and glorious appearing of our great God and Savior Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us. So this follows up now. It's not the end. He didn't just come and save you and say, well, I'm going to be with you until you die. Remember what our catechism talks about. Even after death, he still cares for you. That's the reflection of what the scripture says. Whether you live, whether you die, you belong to Christ. And he's coming again to take you to be with him. He will never leave you. And in fact, there's no declining in blessing. There's an increase in blessing. Instead of being here in this earth where we still have to deal with sickness and troubles, He'll take us to a place where we'll be truly comforted for eternity. Where the economy falling apart, there's no economy falling apart like it does on earth. You know, man might be caring well for his wife and loses his job and then he's in trouble. Not so with the Lord. It always gets better. There's an old Pentecostal song we used to sing that talks about the love of the Lord, how it gets sweeter every day because you learn about Him more. The more you read God's Word, you learn about the sweetness of the love of Jesus Christ. And that's the comfort. I mean, most women, as long as their husbands truly care about them, they don't always care too much about the stuff they have around them. And the Lord is saying, look, everything I have belongs to you. I'll give to you. And I'll be near you. He says, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Which husband can say that today? So often we fail our wives and the expectations they may have. We can't even provide the things that our wives may desire. But the Lord Jesus is much more. That is why this is such a great comfort. He gives you the essentials and more. And this work of Christ was great and complete and completely frees you from the control of the devil. The devil can never, ever control you again. In John chapter 8, verse 34, let's read together. Let's begin. Jesus answered them, most assuredly I say to you, whoever commits sin is a slave of sin, and a slave does not abide in the house forever, but a son abides forever. Therefore, if the Son makes you free, you shall be free indeed. What a picture. The bride of Christ has been freed from the trappings of sin, enslaved by sin. But Christ paid the price of freedom. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 14 and 15, together. Inasmuch then as the children have partaken of flesh and blood, he himself likewise shared in the same, that through death he might destroy him who had the power of death, that is, the devil, and release those who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. Now you see the language. Subject to bondage, enslaved, trapped, with no hope of freedom. What rich comforts Christ gives to his children. Setting them free, keeping them, making them joint heirs, making them judge of the angels, those whom he redeemed from the pit. How that must comfort you. And that comfort continues. He didn't just rescue you. Look at the flow of the catechism. It goes into this second part about the continuation of that comfort. He watches over me in such a way that not a hair can fall from my head without the will of my Father in heaven. This comfort that Christ gave is not just in rescuing from death. This comfort comes, continues with you to the ends of the earth, to the end of your life. Christ raised you from the spiritual dead. He nursed you back to health. He now dresses you up with clothes of righteousness. We were just reading about the clothes of embroidery. He protects you from troubles and from falling back into debts. This immeasurable comfort you keep for all your life. And it's not surprising when you read Psalm 45 that we just sang, to see this picture of the child, of the young woman who was with her parents. If she's there, yeah, she's some degree of help to them, of course, but she can't reproduce. She can't have a family. She can't expand. She needs to be, in a way, set free from that. And that's the picture of how we are set free from that place where we're not as, we can't be productive. Now we're brought in and married to the bridegroom, the Lord Jesus Christ, who becomes the one who provides everything the bridegroom needs and continues to do so. Consider some of these words of assurance that the Lord continues to bless his church. A comfort that truly continues. John 6:39. Together. This is the will of the Father who sent me, that all he has given me I should lose nothing, but should raise him up at the last day. And this is the will of him who sent me, that everyone who sees the Son and believes in him may have everlasting life. And I will raise him up at the last day. I will lose nothing. What a comfort that is. Sometimes a husband may make bad investment and blow every dime he has. Not so with Christ. He will be there forever with everything you need. John 10:27. Together. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give them eternal life. And they shall never perish, neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand. My Father, who has given them to me, is greater than all, and he is able to snatch them out of my Father's hand. 1 Thessalonians 3:3 together. But the Lord is faithful, who will establish you and guard you from the evil one. And you see that word, eternal life? It means exactly that. I know many in modern times have changed the meaning of eternal life to eternal life for a time. But when you have eternal life, you can't lose eternal life. Because if you lose eternal life, it was not eternal life in the first place. It was temporary life. It was like those who planted the seed and it only went down the top. There was a little bit of soil there, but there was rock underneath. It just grew up for a while, but then it died. That is a picture of the of those who are pretending. But the Church of Jesus Christ, when the church is given eternal life by Christ, it can never lose it. The life stays forever. That's a comfort to us. Now look at the extent to which he cares. We say eternal life, that's a good thing to see. But the extent is not just for big things, but for small things as well. You know, a man may say, well, I provide everything you need. But a woman says, well, what are the small things? What about the little things? The little acts of kindness that can be missing. The Lord is saying, look at the extent. Let's read Matthew chapter 10, verse 29 through 31. Together, are not two sparrows sold for a copper coin, and not one of them falls to the ground apart from your Father's will. But the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Do not fear, therefore. You are of more value than many sparrows. He knows the number of hairs on your head, and not one of them falls. That's really the point here, without him knowing about it. You don't know how many hairs fall from your head every day, and the Lord knows. That's someone who truly cares. That's someone you can rest in. He doesn't miss anything. He doesn't miss anything. That's where, you know, we can take that illustration about the husband love for his wife, but then it falls apart. So many little things husbands forget. Or they don't know at all about a wife. The Lord loves his church so much. He loves every individual in the church so much that even the hairs that fall from your head can only fall by his will. And he knows how many fall. Luke chapter 21 verse 16. Together. You will be betrayed even by parents and brothers, relatives and friends, and they will put some of you to death, and you will be hated by all for my name's sake, but not a hair of your head shall be lost. He was talking about the things that really mattered, right? That's the care that he has over his children. He's not saying you wouldn't go through trouble, but troubles are always for your strengthening. So in a way, it's a blessing. Count it, the Bible says. You count it a blessing when you suffer for Christ, because the rewards are great. And in fact, God will use all the events in your life, even events that may seem good or events that may seem bad, and use them for your good. You get that? Even things you think are really bad, why would God do that? Why would God allow me to be sick or to go through this trouble, struggle in my family, unemployment, husband-wife problems, difficulties in raising children? The Lord says he will use all of those things for your good. Romans 8:28. Together. And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. All things work together for your good. And when you go through troubles in life, and you have the right and are encouraged to call upon your Heavenly Father for help. What a comfort prayer is. Just by itself, prayer is such a comfort that you can talk to your Heavenly Father at any time. You've probably known times, if you are a woman and you turn to your husband, you're not feeling well or something, and he's sleeping, you nudge him and he just turns the other side or snores harder. Or it might be the same thing with a wife. You've probably seen the commercial and the guy calls for his wife and says, can you call my mother? And she just throws the medicine bottle at him. No, not much sympathy for the for the poor sap because he's got a cold, and his whole world falls apart because he has a cold. There's not the interest in listening because the wife perceives the man just a whiner. Or the man is thinking, I want to sleep. I don't want to be bothered by my wife. Not so with the Lord. He will listen any time of the day. And then he answers on top of that. He just doesn't listen to your prayers, but he answers. And here's how he answers. He will give you what is good for you. So even when you ask for something dumb, he doesn't say, you want it? Here, take it. You want something that will make you bad, make trouble for you? I don't love you. He will always do what is good for you. And this is even more comforting. Look at Romans chapter 8, verse 15 together. For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. Daddy, we know some of this. Your little girl comes and starts to ask for something with that pleading, and your father, and you think, oh, gotta give it. How much more, and you're sinful, how much more a holy father when you go to him and say, Daddy, God, Father, here's my need. What a comfort that is. And then number 6, God makes you know the fullness of the comfort he gave you by sealing you with his Holy Spirit. That is why you're able to say, as Paul wrote to Timothy, I know in whom I believed. You know you belong to Christ because his Holy Spirit works in your heart and confirms that you are God's child. That's why, as we just read, you can cry out and say, Abba, Father. And of course, you remember that you were sealed for eternity by the Spirit of promise in Ephesians chapter 1, 13 and 14. But let's read 2 more of those cases to remind you again of the work of the Holy Spirit that confirms that you are safe in the arms of Jesus Christ. 2 Corinthians 1, 21 and 22 together. Now he who establishes us with you in Christ and has anointed us is God, who also has sealed us and given us the Spirit on our hearts as a guarantee. You know, when you're sealed with something, it's a mark of ownership. It's like the branding of the animal, but except that this is a seal upon your heart, seal upon your soul that says you belong to Jesus Christ. You've seen that sticker on people's things, property of so-and-so, property of Christ. People like to put those signs up, you know, property of protected by Smith and Wesson, or to put 2 big dogs, photographs of big dogs. If that's the protection, in us we have property of Christ. When the devil sees it, he trembles. He knows he can't go up against Christ. Christ is the one who crushed his head when he died on the cross and rose again, which is the protection. And such is the confirmation. He's not just promising the moon and the stars. He can actually deliver what he has promised. 2 Corinthians 5:5 together. Now he who has prepared us for this very thing is God, who has also given us the Spirit as a guarantee. So we are always confident, knowing that while we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord. The Spirit again is described as your guarantee. There's no expiry date. You buy something, 5 years warranty, which is a different term altogether, means something else. And then after then it expires, then it goes bad. Not with Christ. That guarantee lasts for eternity. So what is your response then? Final point, the result of comfort. Your actions, or your response, I said would be a better word. When you read Romans 8, 1 through 17, you will see many verses that teach of the results of the comfort you have in Christ, or the response that you ought to have. Consider some of Paul's words in Romans 8, 12 through 14 together. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors, not to the flesh, to live according to the flesh. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if you, by the Spirit, you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. So the response is being led, is living in obedience to Christ, to show you are a debtor to Him for all that He has given to you and for all that He has guaranteed to you. Not just in the past, not what you experience now, but the guarantee of the blessing of the future. You live in obedience to Him. Yes, God chose us, He gave us eternal life. You can never lose it. But how do you show you have eternal life? If you are a son of God, you will be led by the Spirit of God. Then you look at Galatians, you learn about the fruit of the Spirit. What are the things that reflect that you are a child of God? And that's when you see the love and the joy and the peace and so on that are described for us there. So when you receive these benefits, you will change the way you live. More and more your cravings for the world and the things of the world will disappear, because the spirit that is fighting against your old nature will win more and more and more. You won't be controlled by the comforts of this world, but by Christ who comforts your soul. And that will begin now. It will not be perfect. There will be times when you will fall back into sin and run to the comforts of this world as if they could comfort your soul. But you will come to that place in fullness. And God's Spirit will lead you. Let's conclude. Every honest man realizes that he needs true comfort. The trouble is, he often does not know how to get that comfort. Someone has to point him to God's words so he can learn of the sufficient sacrifice of Christ on the cross for sins. When he sees the sacrifice of Christ, he can then claim Christ's work as his own. He also learns that comfort continues with him forever. Not just through Christ, but the continuation of that comfort. He is of the elect, so he will never lose what Christ has secured for him and has given to him. And then he's able to serve Christ, who gave him that comfort. But it only comes, your service only comes as a result of what you have received. God will not accept the service of anyone who is not his child. I repeat that. Christ will not accept the service of anyone who is not his child. You must believe that he lived and died for you and rescued you from darkness and established you as his child. Then your work is acceptable to him. And only then your work will be acceptable to him. You respond to your salvation. You don't cause it. It's the work of Jesus Christ. Brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ, my wife said this past week when we were eating that one of the food we had was a real comfort food. And it was true. You ate it and you felt a sense of, nice cold day, nice warm meal. Something comforts you. But it was only comfort for the body. And about 6 hours after, even that comfort was gone. Maybe sooner for the kids. Don't mistake physical comforts as fulfilling your spiritual need for comfort. Christ gives you true comfort. Because you have true comfort, you don't remain a slave to the comforts of this world, the ordinary things. If you have a nice home, if you have a good family, if you have a decent job, if you live in a safe country, thank God for them. Those are okay. Those are nice, comforting things for your body, and some of them have some benefits for your soul as well. But if you think your true comfort in any of these things, or if you think your comfort is in any of these things, you will then worship that thing more than you worship God. Now here's the crux of this matter. Pay attention now. That thing will begin to control your life. If your job is your comfort, you will choose work over worship. You will lose sleep for your work because that will control you, and then you won't be ready and prepared for worship the next day. If your wife is your true comfort, you will choose what she wants instead of living for Christ. To make matters worse, you will find that the thing in which you trusted, whether it's your job or whether it's your food or whether it's your wife or your husband, that the comforts they offer are only temporary. Yes, they may be enjoyable comforts, but they're only temporary. So let me remind you today that Christ is your ultimate comfort in life and in death. He chose you when you were in darkness. He predestined you. He made you acceptable to His Father by taking the punishment for your sins. He keeps you, He sustains you, that no one can pluck you out of His hand. He blesses you with everything that is good and covers and clothes you with His righteousness. And then He told you all about it in His Word. And the more you read His Word, the more you're filled with awe of what Christ would do for somebody like you. Wretched, wicked person. Now you are the bride of Christ. Rejoice in the blessings you have in Jesus Christ. Finally, if you're not a Christian, why not admit the truth that nothing in this world has truly comforted your soul? Your body, yes. Nice warm bed, comfortable house, food and clothing and friends, yes. That is a blessing in a way that is comforting to the body. But it doesn't reach the soul. Why not surrender to Christ, the only one who can comfort your soul? Without that work of Christ, you will die in hell, eternally separated from God. Then you will live with eternal guilt. May that not be true for you. May that not happen to you. May you come to your senses today and look to Christ for comfort.